What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the Tomatoito Boxing Show. And here's a quick recap of the Edgar Berlanga event that took place out in Orlando, Florida, last night. I'm really curious to hear from you guys as to what you guys make of his performance, what you guys think of him. Mixed comments throughout social media. Obviously, I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt. I'm all for the boxers. I'm all for positivity. I'm not really big into the negative comments and the hate, the clout, the bait, the clickbait. None of that. I want to see these guys fight the best, fight one another. And we've been getting a lot of big fights announced, and a lot of the big matchups that we've been clamoring for and asking for are starting to come to fruition, and some that we witnessed back in 2023. Edgar Berlanga is being marketed as the next big Puerto Rican star. They're clamoring to put a face to Puerto Rican boxing, a New York-based Puerto Rican descent boxer in Edgar Berlanga, who I believe is near reaching his ceiling and his capabilities as a boxer. I don't see much more room for improvement. There is improvement needed. I don't want to misconstrue my words. I feel that there's a lot of stuff that he could still tighten up and fix. I just don't see him doing that. I feel that he's at a level where he's performing fairly similar each time out. I feel that his emotions have gotten the best of him in past fights, where if you heard my preview episode to this fight, then I broke that down as to where I'm at with Edgar Berlanga, my thoughts on Edgar Berlanga, with what he's shown up to date. But now the fight has happened, and he pulled off a stoppage win of Patrick McCrory, an older fighter who walked into this as an undefeated fighter, a heavy-handed fighter, nicknamed the Hammer, who possesses a very strong, heavy right hand. And leading into this fight, all the issues that we've seen Edgar Berlanga experience, whether he's been shaken up or wobbled, or it's happened in his sparring sessions, have all come about him keeping his left hand low and fighters finding success with their right hand on Edgar's chin. So the intrigue was that this right-handed, heavy-handed puncher in McCrory, should he be able to land that punch, would Berlanga be able to withstand the power? What we witnessed was a very good exchange, a very good fight where these two styles complemented one another and lent for a back-and-forth fight. A fight where we called and we saw Edgar Berlanga being able to be the more elusive by way of footwork and by way of boxing pedigree alone, because Berlanga does possess fairly good boxing. He has a decent boxing pedigree background, amateur background, and he does, when he boxes well. He puts his combinations well, he puts his punches together well, and he's able to utilize his footwork well enough to find himself and create himself openings. And that's what we witnessed yesterday with an older fighter who is coming into the game somewhat late, has fought subpar opposition to date, journeyman fighters, which is normal as you're building up your resume and your career. It's normal, but he's an older fighter where time's not on his side, yet he possessed an undefeated record coming into this and a threat. He did possess the power to be able to stop Berlanga, and he hurt Berlanga. Berlanga was actually slightly cut underneath his right eye. He hurt Berlanga. He landed on Berlanga. He closed in on him fairly well. They fought at close range several times throughout the fight. When Berlanga would use his footwork and manage to maintain a distance between each other, Berlanga would have success. McCrory would counter fairly well. Even if he was just hitting the forearm or the shoulders, or the punches were being partially blocked, he was throwing with bad intentions, and he was marking Berlanga up quite well, and quite a bit. In the end, Berlanga ends up relying on his boxing in combination with his power, and he delivered a stoppage over McCrory. An awesome punch that he landed as he had a hurt McCrory against the ropes. Berlanga manages to land a punch down center, down range, that broke through McCrory's guard. And it almost, if I recall, it landed on the chest of McCrory, which crumbled him, and he would not answer the counts. That was all she wrote for McCrory once he hit the canvas in round 6. Knockout win for Berlanga once again. He returns to his knockout wins, adds another stoppage to his record, the 17th. Knockout of his career, 22-0 fighter, hands McCrory the first defeat of his career, and a great bounce back overall. What I did like about Berlanga was that he overcame adversity. He knew he was getting touched up, but stayed level-headed, maintained a level head and a level approach throughout the fight. Did not get emotional. Boxed his way out of problems and out of trouble throughout the fight. Created his openings very well. And has a very good instinct to go in for the kill. And when he saw the opening, he went in for the kill. And landed a beautiful punch that crumbled McCrory and left him on the canvas. He was very humble on the mic. Very respectful this time. So whether he's been coached, or if he's matured, and I'm hoping and leaning on the latter of those two comments, then we have ourselves a potential future star for Puerto Rico. Because I really appreciate and like this version of Edgar Berlanga that we witnessed yesterday. Overcoming adversity, being challenged, biting down on his mouthpiece, taking the fight to the opponent, finding an opening and finding a way to win. And he possesses that type of power. Because he was 16-0 with all first round knockouts at one point in his career. Once the opponents started getting tougher and were able to put up with a punch and handle a punch and deliver damage themselves, is when we started seeing the mixed messages, the emotional immaturity of Berlanga, the mental immaturity of Berlanga, and we begin to see, to kind of check out of the buildup and the hype behind this boxer. This version of Edgar Berlanga that we witnessed yesterday is what I hope we see going forward. And if this is the version, and this is as genuine as we witnessed them last night, which I really hope it is, then yes, he could potentially still tighten up his game a little bit, make improvements, and find a lot of success going forward. But the style that he brings to the table is one that I see that he has been molded into, that he has molded himself into, and he doesn't show me any major change. Nothing really different, nothing really surprised us, other than the few points that I just brought up. The positives of what we witnessed last night. I just don't see where the boxing pedigree growth will come. Meaning, we witnessed it with Jaime Munguia, where he went with Eric Morales for, what was it, a length of 5 or 6 fights? And Eric Morales fixed the amount of exposure, the amount of openings that Munguia was providing for his opponents. He gave them a better arsenal. He provided them and showed us an enhanced product and a more defensive-minded, more calculated product each fight going forward. For Berlanga, I see that he relies so much on his power to bail him out of trouble that he continues to make and approach the game in similar fashion each time out. At some point, he's young, he's learning, at some point those comments end up going by the wayside. If you're not seeing slight improvement each time out, the fact that he won, and he won by knockout once again, is not slight improvement, because we're not talking about an elite level fighter that was in the ring with him. It was just another tough, rugged, crafty fighter. That this time he managed to overcome and return to his stopping ways. But how is he going to look against the top of the division? Hell, not even the top. Because according to DAZN and Eddie Hearn, this win last night was good enough to get him in talks with Canelo Alvarez for either Cinco de Mayo weekend coming up or Mexican Independence weekend in September, which is another Canelo date. This fight last night, this performance, was good enough for us to see Edgar Berlanga versus Canelo Alvarez. And I don't know what portion of the public believes that. I just don't. I'm not saying it'll never happen. I just don't feel that Edgar Berlanga is there. And that last fight that he had against, or a couple fights ago that he had against Alexis Angulo, hell, if you give Berlanga the bully, Bektimir Melikusiev, the man who avenged his loss to Rosado, a boxer who comes in, lunges forward, leaves himself open, so much so that Gabe Rosado managed to catch him with his experience, managed to catch him as he lunged in for his attack and knocked him out. Well, the bully came back and avenged his loss to Gabe Rosado. Didn't leave himself as open, didn't take the same risks he did in the first fight where he just wanted to truck through Rosado. He wanted to steamroll him, and Rosado's experience and the game plan that him and Freddie Roach were formulating for this type of opponent paid off. By the time the rematch came, Melikusiev had made several adjustments, not many, just don't be so wild. And he managed to put a basically one-sided beating on Gabe Rosado. So much so that Gabe Rosado ended up stepping away from the sport after that loss. Although he's still on the fence whether he could come back and fight or so forth, especially if he was able to get a fight offered against Edgar Berlanga, he says he'd be game for Puerto Rican Parade weekend, for the Puerto Rican festive weekend that is in June out in New York. Gabe Rosado would be game for that, he said. He'd be able to come back from retirement and face Edgar Berlanga and play somewhat of a gatekeeper type role with Berlanga. And that would be a fan favorite fight and one that I would definitely want to see. Why not? Gabe Rosado has given the sport of boxing so much. I've enjoyed countless fights from Gabe Rosado throughout his career. That would be a fun fight. And a reasonable one, a logical one, for where Edgar Berlanga is at in his career. Not a Canelo Alvarez. I don't see Berlanga having success against David Benavidez, who is in talks, apparently, with Alexander Govzdik at 175. I don't see Edgar Berlanga having success against David Morrell, who was in-house at the event and was in the corner of the co-main event and Andy Cruz. I don't see Berlanga having success against Bully. Remember, Morrell's a mandatory for Canelo as the WBA regular version champ at 168. Benavidez is the interim WBC champ, mandatory to Canelo with that sanctioning body. Who else? There's all kinds of names that we've seen there. Apparently, as of last night, Edgar Berlanga is now mandatory by way of the WBO, where Bektemir is also highly ranked and currently has the global version of the WBO. Or sorry, Berlanga is the WBA? What title did they announce yesterday where they said that he basically becomes the mandatory for Canelo now? Because the WBA mandatory should be David Morrell. The WBO global champ is the Bully, Melikuziev. And Osles Iglesias is the IBO champ, which is obviously the lesser of the titles, but he's the current champion of the IBO, one that Canelo doesn't really even acknowledge or care for. So apparently for DAZN and Eddie Hearn, they said that this fight yesterday, this performance, made Berlanga the mandatory for Canelo, or one of. The other fight that's being discussed seems to be Jaime Munguia after that amazing fight that he had last month against John Ryder. John Ryder has gone on to retire, announce his retirement from the sport. And Jaime Munguia is in apparent talks with Canelo Alvarez and their team for a Cinco de Mayo weekend. Golden Boy and Canelo working together once again, and potentially an Eddie Hearn being involved in there somewhere. But that's where it stands. I would love to hear from you guys to see what you guys think. Is he the rightful mandatory for Canelo? Do you think he'd be able to perform against Canelo? Would this be another Canelo Jermell Charlo type performance? Or would this be a Canelo against John Ryder type performance? Or could it be a Munguia John Ryder type performance? Or like a Munguia Devereschenko type performance? I see the Munguia Ryder performance, the Munguia Devereschenko type performance, that type of fight ensuing with between Munguia and Canelo, a back and forth slugger boxer brawler type fight where they would exchange heavy leather and it would be a fun Mexican showdown for as long as it would last. And I see Canelo coming out victorious against Munguia, but I think Munguia's stock would rise even higher because he would just be balls to the wall, go out on his shield, leave it all out, go for the win type, go for the gold type of a performance that he would put on. And I think Canelo's experience, being that he's faced so many different types of opposition, he's going to be able to adapt to the style, and it won't be a tactical Bivol Canelo type fight. It'll be more of a Munguia Devrachenko type fight with the heavy punching of Canelo and the accurate punching of Canelo. Counter punching at that. But for Edgar Berlanga, I just don't see where he fits into this picture. Not yet. Not at the top echelon. I don't think Edgar Berlanga would beat David Morrell at this point. I don't think he would have a chance with David Benavidez. I don't think he stands a chance with Canelo. I think this would be just a money ploy. And they would sell it to you as a big Mexico versus Puerto Rico type rivalry, but it really wouldn't be. This isn't going to be a Canelo-Miguel Cotto Mexico-Puerto Rico rivalry. Not by any stretch of the imagination. This would be more like, what was the name of that fighter years ago at 154 who was being trained by Ann Wolf? Let me look at it. James Kirkland. If you guys remember that fight, it ended up in, I think, four rounds where Canelo ended up just knocking him out in nasty fashion. Punch right to the chin, counter punch right to the chin with that hook and left Kirkland stiff on the mat. That's how I would see the Canelo Munguia fight and the Canelo Berlanga fight. Although Munguia, I'd favor to do a lot better than Berlanga. Now, what about Munguia Berlanga? Would that be a good one? I think that would be a really marketable fight. I just don't think Berlanga belongs in with the top three names that I'm mentioning. But I think Berlanga, if he takes on the bully, if he takes on Devrachenko, I think he, even if he takes on, say, Demetrius Andrade, and if Demetrius decides to continue to campaign at 168 and doesn't go back to 160, then I think Berlanga and Demetrius Andrade would be a good fight, a good gauge for to see how Berlanga is coming up and addressing the issues and fixing his flaws, if he's going to do so, and continue to build his resume and continue to be exposed to different styles, more elusive, more creative, more experienced styles as the opposition continues to get better. He can't just go from his last few fights to a Canelo Alvarez. He can't go from a McCrory to an Alvarez, if that makes any sense. So I'm really curious to hear from you guys as to what you made of it. I just don't see him there yet. And I think you guys might agree with me, but you guys might have different reasons. I don't want to say that I'm, and I don't want to come across like I'm knocking on Edgar Berlanga, like I'm just a hater. I'm not. I want to see him continue to progress. And I want to see him continue to get into these good fights, these bigger name fights. What about Berlanga getting the IBO title and going against Osles Iglesias? I think Iglesias is scheduled to fight sometime early March. Should he be successful, he could go ahead and take on an Osles Iglesias and get an IBO title. At that point, he's knocking on the door of the major sanctioning bodies. Why not? Go against Yoel Hernandez, who's another Cuban fighter based out of Germany. And he's also highly ranked at 168. Not a lot of people know about him. That would be a tough fight for him. And it would be a good fight for him should he be able to be successful, especially if he stops a fighter like that. Now you're knocking on the door of a David Morrell. Then you defeat David Morrell. Now you're knocking on the door of Benavidez and Canelo. And if Benavidez campaigns at 175 and forgets about 168 and the whole Canelo fight, and he starts campaigning up there, well, now you're going to have a vacant title that you could definitely find yourself in a matchup against, you name it, a Caleb Plant or a Bully, maybe even a Danny Jacobs. Is Danny Jacobs retired? I don't know, but maybe even a Danny Jacobs. I think Berlanga right now needs to find one of those opponents. And I really feel that we're finishing February already. So we're going to be going into March. I think he needs to start camp. And I think his next move should be a festive weekend fight for the Puerto Rican Day Parade or the Puerto Rican Weekend Parade out in New York. Go to the Barclays and get Gabe Rosado to come out of retirement and do a big Puerto Rican style showdown. Philly versus New York. Puerto Rico in full-fledged representation. And it would be an amazing night for boxing, an amazing gauge to see where Edgar Berlanga's at, because I don't see him stopping Gabe Rosado, not the craftiness of Gabe Rosado. It'll be a back and forth fight where you're more than likely to see blood on one or the other, or maybe both. I think that should be the smart move for Berlanga. He gets a Gabe Rosado on a big, meaningful weekend for his culture. A big, meaningful weekend for Puerto Rican boxing, for the up-and-coming star against a veteran of the sport who's represented Puerto Rico so well in his heyday. It would be somewhat of a passing of the torch, and it would be a chance to become a marketable star. Not because we're being told by DAZN commentators and by Eddie Hearn, or by Top Rank when he was with Top Rank. Not because we're being told that he's a star, but because he's showing it and displaying it to us in the ring that he is a star, that he is deserving. That's why people are so high on Jaime Munguia. The criticism of Jaime Munguia is that he's been continued to be prepped and prepped and prepped, and now we're prepping you for this, and now we're going to get you this opponent and prep you for that, and yet he's already like at 44 wins or 45 wins. How much more do you want to prep him? Get him into the big name fights already. He's a very experienced, well-rounded fighter who is nearing his peak of his career and should be in those big name fights, win or lose. But he's obviously a draw. He's able to put butts in seats and sell tickets. And that's what we need to build with Berlanga. Don't tell us he's a future star. Don't sell it to us. His body of work is going to sell itself. And that's my opinion. I really think he should be in talks with Gabe Rosado and do something big in New York for this upcoming June. And I think that would be a big chance for him to show the world that he's able to sell tickets in a big way. And maybe even pay-per-views if they happen to do a pay-per-view, a DAZN fight. I don't think it'd be a pay-per-view fight. I think it should go for a high ratings DAZN fight, free to the subscribers type fight. And I think that would be the smart move, the smart marketable move. But what do I know? We just cover the sport that we love so much as we see it, right? So I'll leave you guys with that. Also, just quick note, Andy Cruz was on the co-main event, and he put on a good performance himself. His third professional fight, he was unable to eliminate and get Samarripa out, who's a veteran of the sport, a journeyman fighter, a tough, rugged fighter. Andy Cruz looked like he was cruising to a stoppage win, especially by the second, third round. Then around the fifth, sixth round, it looked like he was going to get his opponent out. He had him bruised and heavily swollen and just beating him to the punch and beating him the entire fight. But we walked away knowing that Andy Cruz, if anything, he needs to improve on closing the show. But as far as his boxing abilities, as far as his adaptation to or how he's adapting into the pro ranks, he looked crisp, he looked sharp, he looked fast with excellent footwork, he looked calm. I mean, it's his third professional fight. Amazing. He looked great. If he starts reaching his 15-20 pro fight and he's still not able to close the show, then we're going to start acknowledging that. But as of now, his third pro fight with a good opponent, a durable opponent that he was unable to get out, get rid of early in the fight. Oh, well, he got a decision win. He cruised to a decision win, and he left it all out there, showed us his full repertoire, and it was impressive. I was impressed. It became somewhat of a dull fight because it was a co-main event, and we were hoping for Andy Cruz to come away with like a spectacular knockdown or knockout, at least, so it could prep everybody and hype everybody up for the main event. Instead, it was somewhat of a dull fight, which kind of took the breath away from the crowd a little bit and the energy out of the crowd a little bit. But as far as boxistically speaking, Andy Cruz put on an amazing performance. The only critique would be that slight critique that he was unable to close the show. But again, it's his third professional fight. Yes, decorated amateur. Two-time Olympic gold medalist. But that's different than pro ranks. So we got to call it like we see it. And he did great. He looked amazing. His full repertoire, he has a lot to offer the boxing world. He has a lot to offer the lightweight division. And he's possibly, in that sense, the zone is correct the way they were calling it. I think Chris Mannix is the one that said that he, hands down, has to be the hottest prospect at 135 pounds right now. And I agree with him. I think he's going to be trouble for just about anybody and everybody at 135 when he begins to come into his own. But give him some time. He's coming into his own now, and he's looking good. He's adapting well. So congrats to Andy Cruz and Cuban Boxing, and congrats to Edgar Berlanga because he's back on the knockout and got another knockout on his resume, remains undefeated, and is in line for big things. I really hope they don't get him into... They don't derail his career by getting him into the top elite level fighters or against the top elite level fighter of that division, that is bound to go south for him at this stage in his career. He's not there yet, but I really feel that he will be if they continue to build him up with the proper opposition. Let's hope. Let's pull. Fingers crossed. That somebody catches wind of this episode that is able to pull some moves and they're able to get Gabriel Zotto and Edgar Berlanga this June in New York. That would be a perfect transition for Berlanga into the next level of not just that 168-pound division, but as a boxing star overall, as a draw within the boxing world. So I'll leave you guys with that. Let me know what you guys think of the episode. Feel free to just tell me that I'm completely wrong. I love it. I will grow from it. I will learn from it. And we'll continue going. Or start a conversation with me. And let's go back and forth a little bit. Let's exchange ideas and narrative. And we all continue to be big fans of the sport. And continue to share our points of views. And this is only going to help the sport grow even more. The sport that we love and adore so much. So I'll leave you guys with that. Stay safe. And tune into the next episode coming down later this week. So take care of yourselves. Have a good night. Nothing but love.